Welcome back to the Three Tenants Podcast, the show that gives an in-depth look at Army National Guard recruiting, retention, and attrition management with soldiers in the field and instructors at the schoolhouse, as well as updates from the Strength Maintenance Training Battalion.
I'm Callie Allen.
And I'm Richard Friend, and this is the Three Tenants Podcast.
Today we get to sit down and talk with Staff Sergeant Georgia Veruja. Several of you may know her from social media, but that is only a small portion of who she is. Welcome to the Three Tenants Podcast, V.
Thank you all for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you.
When we got ready to start this, we were talking about the fact that you're from Greece. And one of my deployments that I was in, I lived in Souda Bay, Greece.
Yep.
And so we were kind of talking about the words you learn and the customs and things like that. Tell us about growing up, and then said you've been here for how many years?
So I moved here when I was 13, and I'm 27 now. So, yeah, it's been, I guess, a little bit over 11, 12 years now. Island living, it's so different from living here in the U.S. now. But we had farms and animals and...
A lot of goats.
And everything we grew, we ate. It was awesome. Looking back, I definitely took it for granted when I was there. because I now live in populated New Jersey. So it's definitely a big change. But my family still lives there, so I definitely visit, yearly and everything like that. So,
what made you want to enlist in the Guard?
Part of it was I was, moving to the U.S., I had a green card. So I was a green card holder, and I utilized the, naturalization process through the Army National Guard to become a citizen. So that was a main factor why I wanted to join, but also to pay for college. I had selfish reasons why, I wanted to join at first. Now, obviously, I stay for different reasons, but... my family, we don't come for money. Again, we immigrated from Greece. So when the college idea came around, my mom was kind of like, hey, you're either taking loans out or you're going to go to college in Greece. So okay, I'm definitely going to figure this out, mom. So I went to a recruiter and I was like, hey, what are my options? And then, I went through the process. And so I joined for free college, not knowing all the opportunities that would come about after that.
So when you talk about, you were going to have to get student loans if you didn't do this. And especially the Greek schools, you and I know that the schools are completely different.
Yep.
There's a different course of study. There's a different foundation and everything's like a lot of the doctors in Greece mm-hmm. come over here to study and things like that.
Yep.
But talk about how, if you'd had to get those loans, they would have not only affected you, but your family, because Greek families are very tight knit.
Yeah.
And so a debt with you,
is a debt with the whole family.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I wanted to attend Rutgers University, and Rutgers is about $40,000 a year, right? So we're talking a hefty amount, $120,000 coming out, plus interest, because I probably would not be able to pay it off quickly enough after. So looking at that, it was scary, because I do loans in my family as a whole, and especially with Greek people, as you said, it's just is not, we don't believe in borrowing money, right? So if you can afford it, you do it. If you have to get a loan, you can't afford it. So that's why the idea of hey, you either figure it out or you're going back to Greece. And again, we moved here to chase the American dream. We moved here for a better opportunity. So me going back to Greece was never an option.
So when it comes to the Guard, I know you've had a lot of opportunities being a part and becoming an R&R NCO.
Yeah.
And so when you became an R&R NCO, did you find it challenging? When did you start that? What was that like for you?
So when I first joined, I joined as 36 Bravo Financial Management. And I thought that was awesome. I was like, wow, this is, I qualified. I took the ASVAB, I passed, right? Barely speaking English. I was in basic training, not understanding drill sergeants. Swear to God. So the opportunity, came about. I came back to the state and I was just the biggest fan of the National Guard because of everything that it's been able to do for me. So I told my friends, I told my soccer people, I told my whole school. So I ended up giving 7 enlistments to my recruiter. And my recruiter was like, hold on, do you want to do this? Because you're good. Do you want to be an assistant for us? So that's how it came about. And then I applied for AGR and everything. Didn't get it the first time. Had to take a GT enhancement course. So I applied again, finally got it. But the National Guard has truly given me the tools I need to become successful. And every year I spent in the uniform, I realized what a great decision I made at 17. And I'm surprised that I made it at 17, truly. Because kids now, just being RNCO, talking to 17-year-olds, they don't even know what's to eat tomorrow. Yeah. Right. Along, you know, so it's just, I'm just grateful.
Yeah. And asking them to make a plan for 6 years down the road. Yes, because 17-year-old, I need you to sign this contract.
Yeah.
That's 6 years long. And they can't even see themselves 6 years down the road. They can't see themselves 6 hours down the road. Like I said, they don't even know what they're going to eat. Now, I don't think you have to sell something if you believe in it and you truly know your product. 1 week in a month, 2 weeks out of the year, job training, insurance, retirement. I think it's the best kept secret in the country.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, we're all brand ambassadors, and it's not like we do this because we are recruiters or no, I truly believe in the product, right? So it's so easy for us to sell it. I'm not even selling, I'm just telling you my experience, my story, and people get sold from that. That's how you know you have a good product. So I'm so confident in my ability to recruit, for example. I love recruiting. And that is not, for a lot of other branches, that's not something you hear a lot, you know, but in the National Guard, you know, we do have you live here, you serve here, you work here. You know, people grow up and they go to the same high school that they went to and go recruit out of that same high school a lot of times. So you kind of feel, you have that instant fulfillment going and helping your community directly. That wasn't the case for me, but still just the idea of being able to change lives and help somebody out of either a bad situation or help, you know, you don't have to be in a bad situation to join. You can join anytime and make your situation even better. So this is for everybody. Everybody can do this.
Let's kind of talk about your bread and butter.
Yeah.
I know we mentioned a little bit before that you have a following. People may know you, may know your face, your voice.
Now, hold on. I was even impressed. And I'm a grandpa. I'm an old man. And I was like, you have 500,000 people. I said, what do you do if 10% of the people try and message you? How do you answer 50,000 messages? That to me is amazing. That obviously you're doing something that connects with people. So, I mean, like Callie said, tell us some more about that.
Yeah, me and Callie were just talking about that a couple of days ago. So, you know, it's crazy when you get to those numbers, right? When I remember when I got to 20,000 and I'm like, wow, that's my entire city in Greece. When I grew up in Greece, you know? And then, you know, you get to 100 and 200, as it grows. I didn't do anything special. Going back, I'm a firm believer of, I don't gatekeep. I like to put information out. And so through social media, what I try to do is, again, tell my story, show people that this is possible. I kind of humanize the uniform in a way. I show them, hey, yeah, I'm a recruiter. Yes, I'm a soldier. I've done this and this, but I also go to college. I have a brother that we do these things together, you know, and I try to make it relatable and fun. And I think people resonate with that because when people think of the Army or when they see the uniform, they often shy away from it just because, well, you know, this is somebody that goes to war or whatever the case may be. And they don't have that full picture of specifically what the National Guard does. Not to say, hey, we don't go to war, you know, but it's a little bit of different in the profession. So I try to show that. And now we have our podcast as well, Guard to Guard podcast. We just share stories of soldiers. So we just try to put the story out there. And I think people like it because it's real and it's not something that's a documentary or it's just something behind the scenes. I show day my life, what I do. And people are like, oh, okay, I can trust this person. They're showing me, you know, kind of the inside.
A lot of people don't know that your first video wasn't even really military related that made you go viral. You know, it was a soccer video.
I was also very early when that platform opened up. So it was more opportunity for growth. But then I just kept posting every day consistently and, you know, it just kind of a snowballed effect after that.
Realistically, social media is a part-time job because you have to dedicate time outside of your work, especially if they're not allowing you to do it during work, which they should. Yeah. But if they're not allowing that time for you, you have to take time away from your family.
I think the difference is I like it. So I don't really see it as like, hey, you know, I'm taking time. I'm like, hey, let's do it together or let's try and incorporate this. And I would say like my eyes is like a lens. Like I always like when I see it, like I just visualize it. Right. So and if I don't make the video, like it's to the point where now I'm like, I look back and I'm like, dang, I should have made that video. Like mm-hmm. It was a great opportunity. I should like at least on my camera roll and I could post it later. And that's another thing you can do, you know, as recruiters. I've talked to a lot of RNCOs. I've done some training for marketing with different states. And I'm like, listen, you don't have to, when you record it, you don't have to edit and post at the same time. You can just record it when you have time, edit it when you have time, post it. And kind of like manage your time that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm big on content loading. That's what I try to tell students here. Like, if you're not choosing one day out of your week, mm-hmm. making multiple videos, especially if you know that your week's going to be crazy busy, schedule them out, whether you have a scheduling platform or just schedule it on your phone. Be like, I'm going to post this one at this time, this day, and do it.
And, you know, obviously there's a generational difference. But when you're posting, how does your social media post, like, how do you decide what your subject's going to be, what your topic is, and how does that assist you in the recruiting mission that you have?
As recruiters, you're going to all these cool events. You have a Blackhawk event. You know, you have access to all these amazing things. You know, we have a big event coming up in October with the college football military appreciation game, Rutgers versus Ohio. It's one of the biggest games in college football, you know, in the fall. And so we're there, and I just create content. I have, hey, Rutgers mascot, come over here. Let's make this video really quick. And it just kind of like flows like that. And then what I try to do is, I try to convert online engagement to real life appointments, right?
And if they have the inkling that they might want to join, mm-hmm. you're that person that's there, that they identify you, that, okay, maybe I'm willing to sit down and talk. And because I've seen what this person does, I've seen him at the Blackhawk events, I've seen him at the Ohio game, I've seen him on campus, this is my person I need to go to. Like they've branded, you've become the branded person, even though there are multiple branches. Yeah. You're the brand and the face of recruiting at Rutgers.
Yeah, correct? Exactly. I'm like Mrs. Military. It's legendary. I have people hitting me up that want to join the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard. And I'm like, yeah, let's talk about the Army National Guard, though.
Yeah.
Could you kind of tell us what it's like to gain a lead from social media and turn that into an enlistment? Like, yeah. What is that process for you?
So it usually goes something like this, and it differs from person to person, but normally they find me on either platform and they'll DM me, direct message me, right? And they'll just ask a question. Hey, you know, I took the ASVAB, I scored an 18, you know, what should I do? I'm like, oh, hey, John, you know, congrats on deciding to join the military. Let's talk a little bit about more how you can improve on the ASVAB. So it's not instant, hey, do you want to join the National Guard? No, it's just, let me just talk to this person a little bit. And then when I realize, hey, okay, where are you from? Oh, you're from New Jersey? Okay, where do you live? Oh, okay, that was a practice ASVAB you took? Okay, let's talk about the National Guard. Do you know about the National Guard? And then, hey, give me your phone number. And then, okay. We transfer that lead right from Instagram. I make a phone call, and then they're in my office within the week. And it's not complicated at all. You know, you just can't go for the hit in the first message because people get turned off. For me personally, I probably get like per year maybe 5 or 6 of my mission from social media. But all my enlistments know me from social media. They don't necessarily hit me up on social media, but they know me from there. So when they come into the office, it's just an easier conversation.
Social media is so good for you that you don't have to rely on phone calls to fill in the gaps.
Correct.
I'm telling you right now, there are hundreds of recruiters listening to this right now going, oh my God, I wish. So that's pretty cool. I like that.
I think people just forget that it's about the dedication. Like you dedicated your time, your energy, your efforts into social media. And that's what's gotten you there.
Yeah, you still put the work in. Yeah. You just did it in a different avenue.
If you're looking at someone's page, what is the biggest thing that you see that people are doing wrong when they're posting and when they're trying to gain leads? And we can just, let's make this as an R&R NCO perspective, right? What are they doing incorrectly that they could probably change?
You want me to be honest?
Yeah, be honest.
Okay. They're being boring, right? They're creating these things, MOS Monday, and they post 88 Mike picture up on the thing. Guess what? Everyone's doing that. Every military branch recruiter is doing that already. So what do you have to bring to the table that's different? Your story. Tell me about you. Tell me about the chickens that you have. Show me your son, right? Like, make it personable where I want to see you on my feed because I'm invested now, right? Now, again, it comes with, like, the bad things. Now people know about you. They know a little. But as far as recruiting, it's relationship building. So don't post just about the National Guard. Tell me who you are. So the biggest mistake that I see is when I go on somebody's profile and it's all, like, flag here, you know, MOS Monday. Oh, ASVAB Tuesday. It's like, okay, cool, that's nice, but everyone's doing it, so that's what sets you apart.
Do you like to hike? Do you like running? Do you like going to sporting events? What makes you you? And then post about that. And guess what? You can post in uniform too. Yeah. Do both. That's what makes you you. You are a citizen soldier, right? So, I mean, you have all of these great qualities, and once people start seeing those, they're going to want to ask you more questions.
I mean, you hit it right on the nail, right? You just said do both. You're a citizen soldier. You be both, do both. Show me that, right? Because if I'm somebody that posts in uniform all the time, oh, but you're in the National Guard, that's confusing. What, you know, what? Okay, I'm just going to go to the Marines. Like, they do the same thing. So show that. Show that in on social media.
And let me clarify, this is no shade to them.
Yeah, no shade. I mean, social media didn't work for me for like 2 years.
Right.
That's what people don't see. They don't see the unliked. And you can scroll through my Instagram profile and go all the way down. No one liked my posts. No one liked my posts. The comments were like my cousins, you know, like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Like, it was never this for 2 years. So you never know when you're going to be. And viral is, you don't have to go viral. If you have 100 people's attention, 10 of those people are quality.
Yeah.
You don't have to have viral. If you can get 10 people from those 100 to really believe in the mission, believe in you, they're going to come to your office.
You start the relationship and you enlist them. What do you do to continue the actual? I know the relationship starts in the digital media. What do you do to continue the relationship as an NCO after they enlist? Like, do you contact them in basic? Do you keep up with them after they've enlisted? Do you do a follow-up after they've come back from AIT and reported to their unit and things like that?
Yeah, so we have, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm very passionate about service after sale, because it's something that, you know, no shame, but my recruiter didn't do, right? And a lot of us, it is what it is. But so we do have a couple of things. One is we do a weekly PT program, and we invite those soldiers back to run it. So now they're practicing DNC and PRT. And guess what? When they go to BLC, they're good to go because they've been doing it weekly with us.
And plus, you probably get some referrals from those folks.
Exactly.
Because the service after the sale, yeah, makes you a force multiplier.
I try to empower them. Like, hey, you are now the next generation. You're the future of this force. Tell us about you. I'm kind of like tired. Like, I how many times can I say I'm an immigrant? I moved here from Greece, you know? I'm like, let me talk about my people now. Like, you are the next leader in this organization. What do you have to offer? Where did you come from? What is your story? And that's why we also created the Guard to Guard podcast, to focus on them.
I love that. That's a great story, to not let it end with you, to train tomorrow's, to train your replacement. That's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to train my replacement so that they excelled after I was gone. But if it falls apart after I leave, then that's a reflection on my lack of leadership. What do you look for in a new baby recruiter?
For a new recruiter, the biggest thing I would say is, like you said earlier, dedication to the mission. If you can't work, you don't belong in recruiting, because it is 24/7. If you think that there's no long days and early mornings, you're, you know, sadly mistaken, my friend. Because, so that's what I tell them. I say, hey, are you willing to work? Okay. Yes. Cool. All right. Now let's talk about your process, because I could change process. If you're not good at selling things, I can teach you. I can come shadow me, like, you'll find, you know, we'll figure that out. But if you're not willing to work, and we've had ADOS before where they come on and they have missions, they have this 6 month orders, right? And now they show up late to the office, or, you know, they are at this high schools and they're on their phones and they're not really paying attention. They're not giving me, I know you have the 100%. Don't, I'm not asking for 100, just give me 80, right? But they're giving like less than 50. Like, you don't belong here. So first is dedication to the mission, and second, I think it's just like passion, excitement to do this job. Because if you don't have if you don't have a good reason why you're joining, you're probably going to do one term and then get out, right? same thing in recruiting. If you're not really passionate about this, you, after SQF4, I think that the drop rate was, like, they said huge. It's the same. They don't have the they don't have the excitement. So let's talk about that in the before we even hire you. Before I give you the 6 months of money that we could put in somebody else, let me interview you first. Make sure you have the X factor.
So you mentioned that you are here for SLC, which is Senior Leader Course. How has that been going for you?
For me, like, I love it because of, like, we learn, like, eagle view things, right? Eagle, like, from the top to bottom, because until now, I kind of felt like, okay, you know, it's all about me, okay? My development. It's about my thing. But now, I'm like, wait, like you said before, there are other people that are coming after me. So what can I do as a leader in this organization to better prepare you? And I think coming here kind of reminds me of, you know, why I joined, because I'm looking for those mentorship opportunities. I'm looking for, hey, like, what else do we have? Because, you know, doing recruiting day to day, it gets boring sometimes. It's like, okay, you go to the office, you put some people in boots, blah, blah, blah. Come in here. You know, I've been here for the RSP cadre course. That was awesome, right? It reminded me of NCO things, drilling, you know, PRT. I was here for the digital marketing group. That was awesome. I came here for SQI4, now SLC. I came here to a working group for SQI4 to go over lesson material. So, like, these things, and it just kind of makes you feel like someone's listening and someone cares. You know, they're inviting us out here and they really are taking the feedback and making changes. And for me personally, it's like, okay, you know, it what I do and what I say does matter, right? Because sometimes you don't feel that in your organization back in the States, because it's just constant. It's moving, right? Day to day, boom. Put mission first, mission first, mission first. Coming here to Little Rock sometimes is just like a step back. Like, oh, this is how things work.
What's your view as the generation after mine? For what you could do to improve the product and selling of the product that we've got out now?
I kind of talked a little bit about, in my class in SLC, I talked about this a little bit. So I said, you know, we're recruiting and retention, you do attrition management, but what about sales, right? Because everything about this, every company in the civilian world that does sales in some way, shape, or form, they have a real, like, sales training. And not to say that we don't get that in SQF4. We do. We have the, what is CCSM or some CTR. I don't know the acronym, but, you know, you do the, you ask the why, right? Hey, why do you want, okay, but why, but why? But, like, real sales training, like, you know, something where one of these, you know, bigger, maybe civilian, something that's, you know, what works for Nike, come teach us how to do this, right? And let's put some more time into that. I would love to see something like that happen in the National Guard. I think it's possible. We have David Ramsey develop the financial readiness program for the National Guard recently, and I thought that was a huge hit. I had it in all my high schools. Like, listen, you're gonna, if you follow this step by step, it's gonna bring you to a good financial spot, and it has for me. I'm a big fan of his. So if we could implement a little bit more of, like, that citizen things into our soldier life, I think it's gonna just gonna continue to grow. But some of the working groups that I've been, it was like the SQI4. We just went through all the lessons in SQI4 and just kind of, like, fixed the wording a little bit and some of the questions and answers, some of the scenarios. And that was super fun. We had some instructors join us in that and really tell us the importance of the lessons, because it's easy to go through SQI4 and look at the lesson and be like, ah, no, this is not relevant. But when you have those instructors come and say, hey, like, this is why we teach this, right? Because of Big Army or whatever, you know, they give you the why, right? And it all brings it, like, full circle to you. So I'm always open to really any working group. I love being part of things and processes. And so but the one I'm looking forward to, and I know it's coming. I don't know when, maybe when we get the budget, but more sales training, like real, you know, prospecting, digital, like, marketing, and just, like, more social media things. I would love to be part of that.
Well, Sergeant V, thank you for coming on our podcast.
Thank you, guys.
We know the listeners are probably wondering how they can get in contact with you, follow you. So can you give out your handle and just kind of tell us where they can find you at, what platforms?
Yes. So I am on probably all the platforms you could find me on, but on Instagram, it's _GTeam. So it's _GTeam. Okay, and I have the verified badge on there on purpose because people are like trying to steal profiles and stuff. So you'll find me. I'm the only one. And podcast is on all podcast platforms. It's Guard, the letter 2, Guard Podcast. So Guard 2 Guard Podcast, and you know you'll hear us see some cool stuff on there.
Thanks for listening to the Three Tenets podcast. Before we go, make sure to follow us on social media if you haven't already, and be on the lookout for our monthly Three Tenets newsletter. Then stay tuned for next month's episode where we get to meet up with another special guest.